Well, hello everyone. Hope you've had a wonderful Thanksgiving holiday and that you have made sure that you took the time to be grateful to God for all the blessings that we have. It was just a most enjoyable time for us and appreciated the opportunity. One of the things I was giving the Lord thanks for was Mac was going to be leading the singing today for the first time. And he picked out most of these songs. He said, pick a couple for me. But he couldn't make it today. So we got Andy. Thank you, Andy, for filling in. And thank you, brother, for sharing that talent with us. But hopefully we'll have another chance to see Mac. We got so many, so many people who are stepping up and doing some new things. And we just appreciate very much each and every one of them for doing that. A couple of topics. We talked about being thankful, Thanksgiving season, and there are topics I think about that when brothers and sisters start asking to study something or study something about, we have usually requests for marriage, just multiple things. Sometimes it's the church, salvation. One of the things that people will often ask to study and to talk about is dealing with worry. And I think most of us understand that worry is something that we can choose to not do. The trouble is, so many of us don't make the choice. We allow it to overcome us. We just have the what ifs of life. What if this happens? And what if that happens? And I don't know. There's been survey after survey, study after study done, and they've decided somehow that mostly 90% of the stuff that we worry about never happens. So think of that. You've got 100%, you spend 90% worrying about things that never take place, and the 10% most of us couldn't do anything about anyway. So it's just something that the Lord teaches us about. As a matter of fact, if you'll think about it, the Sermon on the Mount, this is Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, Luke chapter 6, the Sermon on the Plain there. But the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus dedicated a good section of the Sermon on the Mount to tell us, don't do this. Just don't do it. Don't worry about it. And if he decided that it's important like that, I think we need to make the same decision. We know that worry can cause ulcers. It can cause a deterioration in our health. It can cause high blood pressure. Nervous disorders of all sorts. It can even affect the heart, and it can affect our mental health. So it really makes sense not to do it, wouldn't you agree? But still, it's something that so many people seem to struggle with. Worry drains our energy. It affects our social life. It invades our home. It invades our life. And yet it's something that honestly I think most of us can do something about. In Psalms chapter 37 and verse 8, the psalmist said, do not fret. That's another word for worry. It only leads to evildoing. I thought about that. As a matter of fact, I decided to make an outline, and I thought, what are the evil things that happen when we start fretting and worrying? And so that's another lesson. I won't cover it today. But interesting thought, in Proverbs 12:25, we read, worry makes the heart heavy. It removes the joy from life. It really impacts life. So the Lord himself says, don't do it. Now that's a commandment. And I know that the Lord asks us and commands us to do things that we can do. We read our text today, Matthew 6, 25 through 34. For this reason I say to you, do not be anxious or worry for your life as to what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor for your body as to what you shall put on. Is not life more than food, and the body than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single cubit to his life's span? And why are you anxious about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory did not clothe himself like one of these. But if God so arrays the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more do so for you, O men of little faith? Do not be anxious then, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or with what shall we clothe ourselves? For all these things the Gentiles eagerly seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious for tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Now, there are a number of things that this passage, and that's what we're going to do. We're going to look at what Jesus said here. There are a number of things that he gives us instructions about concerning worry and how to overcome it, how to not have it as part of our life. And the first thing he teaches us is we've got to decide not to do it. I think that's good news. I mean, you can decide this is something that never has to be a part of your life. And Jesus said, that's exactly what I'm telling you. That's what you need to do. Make the decision not to allow worry to become a part of your life. Three times in the passage we just read, the Lord tells us, don't worry, don't be anxious. Or as another version says, do not worry. He commands it. Well, if he commands it, I think it'd be pretty important, don't you? And yet, so many still struggle with it. It's a clear statement that this is really a matter of choice, and God isn't calling us to do something that's impossible. He's asking us to just control the choices that we make. And the choice here is refuse to do it. You remember Clyde and Leona Collins. They've gone on to their reward, and we miss them, and a lot of good memories about those two. Clyde, I remember in Bible classes, when the subject of worry would come up, or when we would teach a lesson, or we would have a discussion, and worry would come up, I remember that Clyde's response was, it was just plain and simple, he said, I don't believe in it. And that was his approach. Worry? I don't believe in it. As a matter of fact, he says, I don't worry. My advice about worry, and I love this, he just says, don't. Boy, you know, it'd be just so good if we just take something that easy and just do it, wouldn't it? What about worry? Don't. Don't. I don't believe in it. Well, I thank Clyde for that. That's a memory I hope that I'll have all of my life. But I still understand, even having seen this and said this, that we're still needing reasons. Why don't we worry? Why aren't we to worry? Well, you know, one of the reasons is most of the things we worry about are relatively trivial. I mean, they really are if we think about it, and it's just a waste of time. So the Lord says, that's not how I intended for you to live. The National Bureau of Standards says a dense fog covering 7 city blocks to a depth of 100 feet. Now, I tried to find some good pictures of fogs, and surprisingly, they were hard to find. But I finally found one sort of, you've seen this. 7 city blocks, 100 feet deep. Got that in your head? If you took all of that and you condensed it and you put it in one place, you would come up with less than a glass of water. Isn't that incredible? 7 city blocks, 100 feet deep, and it will all fit inside less than just a normal glass of water. Pretty incredible. What's the point? So many of the things that we worry about look much bigger than they really are. As a matter of fact, that's one of the bad things about worry. When you start, it blows it up. It just makes it seem incredibly hard or incredibly difficult. It robs us of our joy and our peace. And yet, if you really look at it, it may just condense down to almost nothing. And I think the Lord is trying to teach us that. There's so much more to this life and clothes and food and health and money and so on. Verse 25, he said, "For this reason I say to you, do not be anxious for your life as to what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor for your body as to what you shall put on. Is not life more than food, and the body than clothing?" And of course it is. But I know many people, that basically is what their life is about. They want to wear the latest fad clothes or the latest fad shoes or get the latest toy or the latest phone, and they get caught up. We all can do this. We get caught up in things that are just peripheral to real life. And we're consumed with it. You know, the thing is, when we start worrying about those things, when the Lord comes back, what's going to happen to it? Burn to a crisp. My wonderful iPhone, burn to a crisp. My computers, burn to a crisp. Our anything we've got, money in the bank, you name it, burn to a crisp. And we're going to spend our life worrying about something that has absolutely no carryover into eternal life except to affect us adversely. Well, that's foolish, and that's why the Lord is telling us, don't do that. It's detrimental to us when we do that. But Satan knows how we work. He knows these schemes can bring us down, get us off center, cause us to focus on things that are less important. If you remember the parable of the sower in Luke 8, Jesus talks about the seed that fell on the thorny ground. And listen to him. Now, these are Christians who plant, the word is received, it grows, and here's his description. The seed which fell among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard, and as they go on their way, they're choked with worries and riches and pleasures of this life, and they bring no fruit to maturity. There's so many people in the church that describes. Started out really well, but, you know, here we are years later, and other things have taken the focus away from the kingdom of God, and they're things that aren't going to help us in eternity. As a matter of fact, they're going to hurt us in eternity if we don't put them in the proper place. So it would just be a wise thing to not allow Satan to get us off focus and to focus on things that just simply do not count. Again, we shouldn't worry because it's really a waste of time. My grandma used to say worry's like a rocking chair. You know, you have a lot of motions, but you don't get anywhere. And you do. You can sit there and rock all day. Well, where do you wind up? Same place. Unless you're really energetic like I was as a kid, and then maybe I could scoot it a foot or two. But you never went anywhere. Well, that's what worry is. It's all this effort, and when you finish, you're still in the same place. So the Lord says, don't do it. It's a waste of time. Use your time for something that's good and something that's beneficial. Verse 27 says, which of you, by being anxious, can add one cubit to his lifespan? NIV says, who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? Now, I've read enough to know that I can take some time away from my life. I can be eaten up by this. But how much are you going to add to it? And isn't the Lord's point excellent? Oh, what are we going to do? How are we going to get through this? How am I going to survive? I don't know. Well, the Lord says, don't. Now, he gave us some positive things to do, and we'll get there. But what he's telling us here is all that brow furrowing, all that lip gnawing and nail chewing, it accomplishes absolutely zero. Nothing. So Jesus says, be smart, be wise. Don't get into this. He goes on to say, look, worry is beneath our dignity. Verse 26. Look at the birds of the air. Now, I've got to admit, I enjoy watching birds, but I don't pay a lot of attention to them every day, especially now that most of them have gone south. But how about you? I haven't spent most of my day considering a sparrow. Have any of you done that? I mean, I see them, but it's a sparrow. They're this little brown bird, and they're all over the place, and who cares? You know, I mean, this is not what my life is about. And the Lord says, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? Now, I know there's some people in the world who think that animals are just as valuable are more valuable than humanity. That's not the way God created us. He made us in His image. And the old law was clear. We're not to abuse animals. I understand. We had pets. I grew up with them. I understand loving an animal. But a bird? I think I had a parakeet once, and I let him out of the cage, and he went out the door, and I never saw him again. So much for my bird. I don't care. Where'd he go? I don't care. I haven't spent the last 50 years worrying about where my parakeet went. Do you? The Lord does. He takes care of them. And He says, you're so much greater. You have so much greater value than that. Realize it. And He says, I take care of them. I will take care of you. It's just beneath our dignity. D.H. Lawrence said, I never saw a wild thing sorry for itself. A small bird will drop frozen dead from a bough without ever having felt sorry for itself. I thought, man, he's right. It's just beneath our dignity to do it. God, He says, I'll take care of them. They can eat berries and things that if we did, it'd kill us. God said it's food for them. They can eat amazing the things they eat. Many, I guess most of it, I wouldn't care to, would you? I've eaten a chocolate grasshopper. It was crunchy and I like the chocolate. Can't say much for the grasshopper, but I've done it. Have you eaten some weird things? You know, the Lord says, I'll take care of you. Just like I do the birds. So it's just beneath our dignity to do this. And you know, the thing that bothers me the most when I'm consumed with it is it's really an act of faithlessness. We are basically saying, I'm in a situation or I'm dealing with something that even God can't take care of. Therefore, I've got to do it for Him. Well, how's that working out? It doesn't work that way. It just doesn't. Verse 30, Jesus said, will He not much more do so for you, O men of little faith? It's a faith issue. Again, He has instructions about what to do, but here's why we shouldn't. These are the things that He tells us. It's a lack of faith in certain situations. We think it's beyond God's ability and control. And, you know, that's a pretty hard thing to confess to, isn't it? But that's what we're doing when we worry. Well, I've got to do it. Well, it doesn't do any good. You're back in the rocking chair. And you're not going anywhere. So, you know, just understand. The Lord says, do not worry. Why, Lord? Well, He says, because it's trivial to do so. It is wasting your time. It's dehumanizing. It is faithless, a habit of faithlessness. So, He says, make the decision. Ain't going to do it no more. Deal? It's that simple. Now, I know some are sitting there saying, no, it's not. You don't know. You don't have the problems that I've got. You don't have the difficulties that I've got. You haven't gone through the things that I have. I understand, but God, He understands perfectly, and He knows better than us. And here's His advice to us when it comes to worrying. So, if we're going to overcome worry, what's something we've got to do? Well, we've got to trust God to take care of us. And that's just a daily thing. Every morning when you get up, it's just time to give the day to the Lord. Say, Lord, I want to glorify You. What can I do to glorify You this day? Help me to live trusting You, doing Your will. You know, there's a plan for the day. But we trust Him to take care of us. Verse 31 and 32, Jesus says, do not be anxious then, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or with what shall we clothe ourselves? For all these things the Gentiles eagerly seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. And when He knows what we need, He will provide it. Peter tells us what we need to do is to cast all our care upon Him because He cares for us. And that's the solution. What do? We trust God. You have a problem? What's worrying you today? What are you thinking about? What are you facing that could really cause some tremendous concern and eat at your heart and your soul and your stomach and your blood pressure? What are the things? Peter says, God says, give them to me. Let me handle them. I read this illustration. It's kind of cute. I hope you enjoy it. But there's a businessman who ran into a friend. He was a stockbroker. And he had had some real health problems because of the pressure of being a stockbroker and, you know, doing his job and choosing the right things and giving the right advice. And so he developed terrible health. He got ulcers, his blood pressure, you know, he was really bad. And so he dropped out for a while. His friend didn't see him one day. He walked into the market and there his stockbroker friend was, and he just looked terrific. And he went up to him and he says, man, you really look good. What's going on? How are you doing? How's your health? And the guy said, you know, I'm ulcer free. I'm worry free. I mean, everything's going great. And he said, well, how did you do that? What did you do? And he said, well, I hired a professional worrier. And he said, you did what? He said, I hired a professional worrier. And if there's something that I think I need to worry about, I call him and tell him about it, and I let him worry about it, and I haven't had a problem since. And his friend said to him, you know, that sounds wonderful. I think I'd like to talk to this man. And he said, what does he charge? And the stockbroker said, he charges $100,000 a year. And his friend said, what? How in the world are you going to be able to pay him $100,000 a year? And his response was, I don't know. Let him worry about it. Isn't that what God's telling us? We can, yes, if you want to. You can hurt yourself, your family, your life, everything. Why not just let God take care of it? He is, honestly, a professional worrier, and he ain't worried. So just give it to him. That's what the Lord says. That's how we can overcome it. As Paul wrote, one of my favorite passages, be anxious for nothing, but in everything. Doesn't that cover it? Everything. In everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, never forget that, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now that's the way to live. Make the choice, not going to do it. Turn it over to God because He cares for us. And you know what you say? Sometimes I just don't know how I'm going to get. Well, when you start saying that, I guess our response needs to be, I'm going to choose. Lord, I don't know how I'm going to get through this. I really don't. But I'm giving it to you. And I'm going to trust you to keep your promises. And there we go. And God will. So that's what he tells us. Choose not to worry. Give Jesus his proper place in your life. And that's what the Lord says. Verse 33. The first and foremost commandment is love God, right? With everything we've got. This is an extension of it. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Now listen. These prosperity gospel, quote unquote, preachers today, they make promises that God never made. God isn't saying if you want to drive a Mercedes or you want to drive a Rolls Royce, that's exactly what I'm going to give you. He's not saying I'm going to give you the mansion that you lust for. That's not it. He's saying I will take care of you. Whatever it is that you need, and he knows, he says, I'll provide it. So just cast it upon him and put Jesus first. And as Christians, I think that's a challenge for us, because the longer that we live our lives as Christians, sometimes the easier it is to get distracted, to forget this principle, that no matter what's going on, the Lord and his kingdom, his church, ought to come first. You see, God doesn't say, look, I'm going to bless you, and it's just boo, that's it. He says, if you will do certain things, you will experience these blessings, and one of them is put the Lord where he belongs. Try to keep anything else from usurping his place of authority. And he promises us all those things that we worry about. He says, Those things will take a secondary role. Let the Lord be first. And he says, I'll take care of all the things that you need. And it eliminates worry. And then, you remember that, let's show it. I think of it anyway. We've got to learn to take it one day at a time. Jesus said in verse 34, therefore do not be anxious for tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Again, if they're right, 90% of the things that we worry about never happen. 90% never happens. So why are we spending our time worrying about something? We're worrying about tomorrow. We're doing that what if and how and so on. And that's where we trust God and we have faith and we live one day at a time. I have favorite cartoons. I miss them. Calvin and Hobbes, I guess, is my favorite. Garfield's next. And one of my favorite characters in Garfield is Odie. When Carla and I first got married, we had a dog that looked just like Odie. She found a little statuette that the dog's name, I named him Burf. I don't know why, but we called him Burf. We would wake up each morning and Burf would have his head laying on the bed looking at us. You know, he needed to go outside. And he would be there going, and it was wonderful. Well, you know, some people think, you know, of Odie, and you think when you're talking about don't worry about tomorrow. God isn't saying don't make plans. He's not saying there are other passages in the scripture that deal with that. But most people think, well, when you take that approach, it's like, don't worry, just be stupid. Well, that's not the point at all. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, trust me, I'll take care of it. There are things that we can do, and there are things that we ought to do. And if we don't, we're going to become a sluggard. And the Bible has a great deal to say about that. Paul Faulkner wrote this. We have a lot of pickup trucks in the part of West Texas where I live. Those pickups have an extra heavy set of springs called overload springs, and they work. A good old pickup can carry quite a load of stuff. But if you took every load that pickup would ever carry and you put it on the pickup all at once, it would collapse. It can carry loads fine, one load at a time. Jesus put it this way, let today's troubles be enough for today. And that's the way we're made to carry one day's trouble at a time. You can't do anything about tomorrow. 90% is never going to happen. So deal with the things today. What are you going to do today to glorify God? And that's basically what he's saying, one day at a time. That doesn't mean that we live irresponsibly. It doesn't mean that we have no plans for the future or we're foolish about it. It just means that we take care of the things that the Lord tells us to take care of. I loved when I was young, I loved to play sports. I wasn't much good at basketball, but football, baseball, track, some other things like that, I guess I was pretty good. I loved to compete. It was a lot of fun. Well, now I'm old and I can't do those things. But I still love to watch sports. And when I was playing, and then ever since, there's this axiom that great coaches teach their teams and their players. And it is, forget the play that just ended. Go on to the next. If you made a great play, forget it. Put it behind you. That doesn't mean you're going to make a good play now. You deal with this one. This is it. If you blow it, forget it. Put it behind you. You've got to get on to the next thing. And that's what we're saying. I was watching Michael Jordan, and this is memory, so I hope this is right, but I believe they were playing the Detroit Pistons, and it was in the playoffs. And Jordan's one of my favorites, and I just love to watch him. And he came out in the first quarter, and he couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. I mean, I've never seen him play so bad. He would shoot, and it was nothing but air. They'd start air ball, air, you know, Michael Jordan, he didn't do this. So they won the game. Jordan came back and they're interviewing him. And he said, you know, everybody has off nights. And they said, well, when you have an off night, what do you do? And he said, you forget the last shot you took. And that's exactly what he did. He concentrated on defense, and boy, in the second half, third and fourth quarter, he went nuts. He hit everything he tried. I mean, that's, you just forget. And you deal with what's coming today. Succeed or fail. That's the advice that he gives us. And the Lord is saying, give your full attention to today. How can you glorify God today? And that, folks, will help us to get through this and to overcome. So, what's the principle? Take action. You say, all right, what kind of actions? Well, the Lord tells us. Number one, make the decision not to do it. Will you do that? Will you? Just make the decision, I will not do it. The Lord said don't. I'm not talking about a man's authority. Our Maker, our Creator said, don't you do this. It's foolish in every way, so don't. Let it go. Trust God to take care of you. He's promised. Titus tells us it's impossible for God to lie. He does not lie. If we will put Him in the right place, which is to give Jesus the top priority, seek the kingdom first, put Him in your, if you're having problems in your marriage, I would challenge you to, I would ask you, is Jesus first in your life? Are you seeking Him in His Word? Are you spending time with the Lord? Are you looking at Him so that He can change you into the person you need to be to make your marriage work, or to be a better father, or a better mother, or whatever it is? When you focus on Jesus, He changes us to be the person we need to be. And sometimes we get that backward. And finally, live each day as it comes to you. Just one day at a time. So there it is. As a big part of the Sermon on the Mount, the greatest sermon ever preached, Jesus tells us, don't worry, and here's how you do it. Decide, trust God, give Jesus top priority, live one day at a time. And it will work. So thank you very much for listening. You've been very, very wonderful. Widow, final illustration, was successful at raising a very large family. She lost her husband. They had six children. She raised them, but she not only raised the six, she adopted 12 others. And when she was being interviewed one day by a newspaper reporter, and he said, you know, how did you do this? I mean, you did it with such certainty, with security. You had such a positive outlook all the time. How did you manage to do this? And she said, well, I'm in a partnership. And many years ago, I said, Lord, I'll do the work and you do the worrying. And she said, I haven't had an anxious day since. And that's what the Lord is asking us to do today. Now, let me ask you as an invitation. Are you concerned about your eternity? When you think about standing before the throne of God in judgment, are you concerned? If there's one thing I truly would encourage you to be concerned about, that would be it. We're going to offer an invitation. If you need to be baptized into Jesus Christ to have your sins washed away, to be saved, we'd like to encourage you to do that. We will baptize you where the Lord promises that He will wash away your sins, that you will rise to walk in newness of life in union with Him. You'll be united with Jesus. And we want to encourage you to do that. If you're a Christian and we slip up, we do, we get off center, we lose our focus. Sometimes we forget what's really important. We just sort of let those cares and worries of the world come up and choke us. Well, maybe today would be the day you'd like to come forward and say, would you pray for me? I really, really want to serve the Lord. I want to do it right. I want to do the things that He's asked me to do. We're going to sing the invitation song, Nothing But the Blood of Jesus. And if we can help you in any way, if we can pray with you, if we can encourage you, if you need that, whatever the need is, especially if it is to take care of your eternity, then we want to say to you, please come. while we stand and while we sing the song of invitation.